April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey, hello! The Go Birds Podcast, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you. The all-new Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, as you covered. Elliot Shore Parks. Well, yeah, I got to hear from you. You got to talk.
Well, I was going
to
say, I feel
James Bradbury's an Eagle, baby! How about it?
I feel like everybody that opened the James Bradbury Emergency Pod yesterday just wanted to hear you screech his name out into existence.
I am fired up, Elliot Shore Parks. They got James Bradbury. We talked about it.
Many are saying.
Right? And it's one of those things where I feel like we've talked so many, and we made this comment, and we'll get to how the Eagles' odds have changed because of this. We'll get into that and what it means from a betting perspective. But, you know, we talked about this with the A.J. Brown trade, and I think it's kind of a similar thing with the Bradbury thing where, you know, over the last few years, there have been so many times where we're like, oh, trade for Jalen Ramsey, or oh, go sign this guy. Oh, do that. And, like, they're doing those things now.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we wanted, Elliot.
So it's just got to be so simple to be a GM and just do what the fans want.
this is your theory. Just do what the fans want.
Just do what the fans want. And I know everyone says, like, oh, if you do what the fans want, you'll be sitting with them. Like, I don't know. If you just go get really good players and make fans excited, I feel like more often than not, it'll work out. But no, I mean, I said this yesterday, and I guess this was in the emergency pod, but at this point, if you don't think Howie's a good GM, like, you're just being intentionally ignorant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, well, you know, if you want to hold, look, I'm all of a fan of, like, holding on to a take, whatever, blah, blah. But, like, the dude has had, I was debating this with you yesterday in the studio briefly, how many GMs over the last, however you want to phrase it, year, two off seasons, whatever time frame you want to use, since the end of the 2020 season? How many GMs have been better than Howie? And short, I mean, you know, the Rams won maybe just because they won a Super Bowl.
Honestly, there aren't many. And look, I think
like the Bengals won, not really, just because like they got Joe Burrow. But outside of that,
here's what I think. First and foremost, Howie Roseman has had a brilliant year plus. Brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at, we talked about it, but you know, outside of, you know, an Eric Wilson signing and a couple small moves like that, every single major move the Eagles have made has been brilliant. I mean, from the Wentz trade, which, you know, unbelievable that happened. The Dolphins trade he made, you know, ultimately ends up letting him get Devontae.
I mean,
getting Devontae on draft night,
Devontae,
the way he played that whole thing. The trade they just made with the Saints was a steal. The A.J. Brown trade, the draft they just had, the draft they had last year. I mean, it has been just, dude is on a heater. And I will say, look, I do think he deserved to get ripped. I think that, you know, and I'm not saying Howie is GM for life or anything like that, because we have seen a trend where Howie will get high on his horse and then kind of fall, and then when he gets humbled, he comes back with a freaking vengeance.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping he's learned from that, but I'm with you. I think that for anyone to not give the man credit for how, yes, he made the mess, but the way he's rebuilt this team, like, I honestly, and I don't even know if this is earmuffs, but one, two, three, I think you sound like an asshole if you try
and— I think that's earmuffs, in my opinion. I think we've had this discussion.
I would say no,
but that's
fine.
I think that is a curse word.
I think you sound like an asshole.
Yeah.
If you don't give this man credit for what he's done, because what he has done is unbelievably impressive.
Yeah, and so the Bradberry thing, I thought it was interesting, too, that, and I sometimes this gets a little, you know, every player says it, that Bradberry said he wanted to come to the Eagles because he wanted to win. And there is some truth to that, because there was a report from Dan Duggan of The Athletic that there was a deal that they had worked out, the Giants, with the Houston Texans, but he didn't want to go there because he didn't think he could win there. So if you
good job, James.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
He's good at reading. Yeah,
good
reading
point.
The
good point.
But you look, I mean, he's played in Carolina. He's played with the Giants, so he's never played in a playoff game. And I think he believes that in Philadelphia, he can come here and win. And the way this roster is shaping up, it's hard to disagree. Like, look.
Of course, it's impossible to disagree. I mean, the offense, we've talked about after the A.J. Brown trade, how just flat out loaded it is. You know, Hurts is obviously still the question mark. We're excited about him, but we'll see. But outside of the quarterback, how it, top to bottom, it is one of the better offenses in the NFL. And now with the moves they made on defense, the sum of them, and look, there still could be more. You know, I know there's Jesse Bates rumors out there, Chuck
Clark.
Oh,
yeah, I was going to say we could talk about
that. We'll get
that.
To that, but... but you look at what they've done to remake this defense and to make it for Gannon with the style he wants, the players that fit, and then adding Bradberry, who I do believe came here to win. I also think he said it was a perfect fit for him, which I believe. And look, he gets to cover second receivers for the most part. I mean, what a win.
And in theory, he's
going to
be
a new contract next year. This guy's playing for a contract.
Well, I think that's the positive as well. So it reminds me of two moves. Gilio brought this up, but I do think it's accurate. Like, it's a little more similar to me than Alshon on a one-year deal than it is, like, Eric Wilson, Anthony Harris.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
I mean, he got double-digit
for sure.
money. So
James Bradberry is a pro bowler.
Yeah, that's serious
Those
money,
Those other guys
too.
Were, hey, let's take a shot, and maybe they you right, know, well, repeat
even,
2020
even
or whatever.
Anthony Harris, he had been franchise-tagged the year before. He, at one point, was viewed as one of the better safeties in the league. But he got $5 million. Like, Eric Wilson got, you know, I think it was $5 million as well, something like that.
I think
like
it was
that,
less.
Three
it was like $3.5 million, yeah.
Bradberry got $10 million. Like, that's nothing to look over. So they seriously paid to get this guy in here. And it reminds me of the A.J. Brown trade in the way that once A.J. Brown got on the offense, everything just felt like it clicked. Like, it was like, okay, now that he's a number one receiver, Devontae as a number two is really good. Quez is the three. You feel much better about that than him as the two. Goddard's still there. Like, you know, you feel better about the receivers that Jalen Hurts is playing with. Like, one piece really kind of shaped and shifted my opinion of the offense. And I kind of feel the same way about Bradberry, because now when I look at this Eagles defense, I say, okay, the defensive line, they have to go out and they have to prove it. They did not play well last year, but there's pieces now. Hassan Reddick, I like that signing. We've obviously talked about that, double-digit sacks. Jordan Davis, I think, has a high floor, so at the very least, I think he's going to make the defense better. You get Brandon Graham back. Like, you can go through the list of things, but I think their defensive line should be pretty good. But in the secondary, adding Bradberry, first of all, it makes everything click, because now, like, Avante Maddox is one of the better nickel corners in the league. We all know what Darius Slay can do. But it also allows you to do different things. Like, Slay doesn't have to fall the number one receiver. You can just put them on different sides, and Bradberry can do it if needed. And they definitely need help at safety for sure. But when you look at the defense, no defensive personnel is perfect. No defensive coordinator can line up and say, I have a stud player at every position.
Correct.
Right? The Eagles can line up and feel legitimately good about what they have at the majority of defensive positions. Mm-hmm. I think you feel good at all three cornerback spots. I think linebacker you'll see, but I think Kaiser White and N'Kobe Dean, like, you have to feel somewhat good about
sure.
that. They've got to improve
it.
But
T.J. Edwards is a fine football player.
Edwards,
like, I think
yeah.
the depth there is much improved.
In the defensive line. So we talked a lot about the pressure on Hurts and how he has to win a playoff game, and I still believe that. But I think the same absolutely goes true for Gannon and Sirianni. Like, they also have to win a playoff game. If this Eagles team does not win a playoff game this year, it is a failure of Hurts, but more so, I would say, of Sirianni and Gannon. Like, the talent is there. Howie Roseman has handed off a talented roster to Nick Sirianni and Jonathan Gannon. They have to go out there and do something with it. I defended Gannon last year because I thought, A, the personnel wasn't that good, and I thought, B, people were overshadowing the fact that they were dominating bad offenses. Now there's no excuse. He has the personnel, and they're playing bad offenses all year. They'll play how many good quarterbacks this year?
One. I mean, one great quarterback and a few
and
good
then
ones.
Dak, right.
Dak
so
and Kyler, and that's like
the majority
it.
Of weeks where they line up, and I know things can change, but when they line up the majority of weeks, they should be holding defense offenses to like under 23 points, 21 or under.
I love when you pick out just random numbers.
Well,
it's got to be under 23. It's got to be under 23.
Well, I was going to say 21, then that sounded a little.
I think your point is absolutely dead on. Like Jonathan Gannon, we talk a lot about Hurts being squarely in the crosshairs now and there's nowhere to run, like no excuses. This is his year. Same things for Gannon, man. Like, not just have they given him players, but to the point you made before, they got him his players.
Yeah.
They built a defense for what this guy wants to run.
Well, I know Gannon really likes Bradbury.
Yeah,
too.
And it's a defense for what this guy wants to run. They're saying, all right, buddy, you got your pieces. Like, I had a buddy say to me the other day where he's like, Gannon shouldn't be here next year one way or the other. Either he's a head coach because this defense is awesome, or he's gone. Because he wasn't able to take advantage. And I'm sure. And
I agree with most of that.
It's absolute, but I like the.
I do the thing that people did with me with Hurts where there was like, well, what if they lose 40?
Right, and that's true. And it can be, but I like the concept of it where it's like.
I agree. It's a good statement.
Yeah. Like Jonathan Gannon, it's a way to say, hey, he's in. Yeah, this is it. No
excuses. It's a smart statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really intrigued because, you know, I've been a doubter. Let's be honest again.
I've been more than a doubter.
I'm intrigued to see what this guy. I mean, again, as I've said many times, like, I don't believe in the guy, but. But it doesn't escape my attention that the rest of the NFL thinks this guy's a superstar. Let's see, buddy.
So
let's find out.
I'm not going to pretend to be like a defensive X's and O's savant. But I feel like the main issue people had with Gannon last year was that he just dropped both safeties back, wasn't that creative.
Lack of aggressiveness, all that stuff.
So I do wonder.
Letting teams pick him apart with great quarterbacks.
Yeah, and so this is like. The bootleg version of like Baldy's breakdown. You ready? Like this is like ESP's film session.
Can't wait.
I do wonder if the safeties aren't any good, is it still the smart thing to do just to tell them both to sit back? You trust Bradbury and Slay to do their coverage, and then you just the front seven just goes after the quarterback? Like, does that make sense to you? Or
sure. I mean, but you know, again, I think it's I'm intrigued.
Because the safeties
are
not good.
No, but I'm intrigued to see if he's creative. You know, Hassan Reddick is a player that a creative defensive coordinator takes advantage of. You know, like he's got his pieces.
Yeah, I still
pieces.
Feel about that.
But. I know, but that's what's got to happen.
Yeah.
Gannon has to find ways. Kaiser White, like guys, Gannon has to find ways.
Like Kaiser
to put
White
these
and
guys,
Kobe Dean, I want to see him get creative.
I'm intrigued with all those guys. The Bates thing or the Chuck Clark thing. You adding another safety.
Yes.
And we're going to get to the odds and how they've changed because of the Bradbury signing and all that in a few minutes. But there has been a lot of J.C. Bates rumors, certainly today. You know, the whole, like, he liked a...
Well, social media never lies.
We are a social media believer podcast.
Honey Badger was liking Eagle stuff, and they almost got
we
him.
We trust that stuff. But, you know, it can go both ways. Like, Yannick Ngakoue, we've had the ones where it's gone. You know, it didn't end up happening. And that was a trade and a little different and all that. But... where do you stand on either, you know, just the adding a safety thing and then particularly the Jesse Bates?
So first, let me say, I want to make sure I give credit. We had a hashtag real one, DM the pod, and suggest Jesse Bates like 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
So
shout out to the real one.
Just
want to
put that out there.
Yeah.
Right? But so Jesse Bates, it's an interesting situation because he is under the franchise tag, correct? Mm-hmm. But you can trade guys on the franchise tag, and the Bengals don't have enough money really to sign him, and they need money. So the tough thing would be...
He's only 25, Jesse Bates, by the way.
Right. Now, if you look at what they tried to do initially in free agency, they tried to sign Marcus Williams, right? And then they were, you know, somewhat in on a number of other safeties. Honey Badger, Justin Reed. Like, they tested
they
that market out.
Yep.
Yeah. And they were willing to pay Marcus Williams, like, a lot of money. So now the question is, do they still have that money? In a way, you always have money. And, you know, you started off by saying... talking about Howie Roseman, I also think Jeffrey Lurie deserves some credit for continually being willing to write big signing bonus checks.
Sure.
Like, not a lot of teams do that, and that really allows
you
the
Eagles— You just mentioned the Bengals. That's their problem. The Bengals are a cheap franchise.
Exactly.
They have long been a cheap franchise.
Yes.
And it extends to scouting staffs and all that stuff. Like, they are a notoriously cheap franchise, but this is another example of it.
And I know that this money doesn't actually come out of Lurie's pocket, but bottom line is the franchise writes big signing bonus checks, and that's how you get Bradbury.
Yep.
That's how
no
you get
doubt.
Bradbury. So— with Jesse Bates, the tough thing would be he is under the franchise tag. So I don't know how it works, like if you would have to acquire the tag and then re-sign him, but they would have to clear space because the franchise tag is a lot.
Yeah, if they traded for him, they could negotiate with him. Like they wouldn't
correct,
have to.
Correct, but I mean they would have to like, I think they would have to renegotiate other people's contracts just to acquire
they
him.
They might. Well, I mean, it depends. Look, if you always say they could do the type of thing where they give him more money down the road and give him a small amount in the first year of the deal and stretch the bonus and all that. Like, if it happens, it would be that type of thing. I would be surprised if they could figure out a... Like, they've made so many big additions. If You know, I was thinking the Chuck Clark thing, that makes sense. That's a guy where there's not really a spot for him. He's a fine player, but not a stud. Like, Jesse Bates is a stud. So, I mean, if they get Jesse Bates, it's, I mean, we're losing our minds here.
So, yeah, I'll save my thought on that for the next pod.
Ooh,
but like,
love, what a tease that is, buddy.
I mean, but I will also say at the end of the day, like, you go and you get good players.
I agree.
Like, you just go and you get good players.
The opportunity's there.
If you have the money to get him, he's 25.
Well,
he's someone you can count on.
The compensation is too, obviously, because they wouldn't be trading him for nothing.
Would you give up a one for him?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I would definitely do a two.
I would do two. I would trade a two for him.
Man, he's so good. It's such a big position in need. And I do think, like,
changes everything. He really
does. Well, that's the other thing, too. I was just talking about when you don't have good safeties, it's really hard to get creative with them because they're not good. So, like, I could see a world where we're getting into week three or four and the safeties are just dropping back and everyone's like, why is he not being more creative? And it's because, well, the safeties can't run. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Anthony Harris can't run. Marcus Epps can run somewhat, but I don't think he's, like, someone you trust sideline to sideline, like, doing all types of things. Jesse Bates, and I'd have to look more into his game specifically, but, like, I mean, he can play single high safety. Like, he really allows you to get creative with other things on the defense. So, 25, I mean, look, giving up the extra one would hurt, but, man, I think I would.
Look at you.
I think I would give up a one.
I couldn't do it. I get it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, but I get it.
That's probably the smart decision by you.
Yeah. And
because then you're also paying him.
Yeah, then you're also, that's the thing. If I didn't have to pay him after, maybe it would be more likely to.
Now, in the Bradbury thing, like, I think they need a safety more than they need a number two corner. But it's just Bradbury was a better player than what's available.
And you don't have to give up anything for other money.
Exactly.
Like, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Jesse Bates, like, all right, what do we trade plus pay him? And Bradbury's a one-year deal. You know, no such thing as a bad one-year deal, guy. And this
you've often said
particularly
that.
Particularly
good
one.
We'll put all that right. on the shirt. No such thing as a bad one.
It's the truth. All right, we're going to get into the odds in a sec. Speed of odds, download the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. What are we doing here? How many times do we have to talk about this? Download the app. We've been having so much fun, of course. Basketball action going on right now. So we're whittling it down here, Elliot, the basketball action. Elliot's been laying some shackles on soccer, as usual.
Well,
hoping that Leeds survives and does not get relegated.
Big day. So today, no one's going to care about this, but today there's, today being Thursday, two big games, and then the final day of the season is this Sunday.
Oh, buddy.
So Leeds is 1 point clear of relegation.
That's it? They
one
were
point.
Five last time we talked.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, buddy.
Well, they're the favorite to get relegated right
now.
Oh, no! I know.
Oh, no, this is bad.
I know. So I've been looking at the odds to try to talk myself into the two teams they need to lose today are both underdogs. So in theory, as long as if they don't get a point, then I feel really good going into Sunday. But today's a very big day.
Oh, man, are you nervous? Are you going home to watch as soon as we're done recording?
Of course. Well, Kristen left for a bachelorette party.
Oh,
so I'm like,
buddy.
Free as a bird.
This
so, you know.
Elliot's
exactly.
Bachelor weekend.
Yes. Yeah, the more relaxing,
more excited
sleeping.
For the bachelor party or for your at-home-by-yourself bachelor weekend? It's the weekend.
I'm not going to say.
I know
the weekend home is.
I know it is. Just be honest.
Yeah.
It's the weekend home.
Put on whatever I want on TV.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So be able to order some Chinese food.
Can't wait.
Easy.
But we'll see. So I can't say I'm going to bet on the game or not. I probably will. But
you definitely will.
I know.
Don't lie to everybody.
Maybe I'll do an emotional hedge.
I like that. Okay. So you win either way.
Yeah.
That's good.
But I really lose. But
so you can bet on soccer. You can bet on baseball. You can bet on basketball. You can bet on all these things. And, of course, football futures are out. We're going to be talking about those in just a minute. The Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It's the only casino and sportsbook app that we here at Go Birds recommend, where slots, odds, bets, and games all come together in perfect harmony right in your pocket. Sportsbook and casino all in one amazing app. And here's the deal. If you sign up right now, new customers make their first bet risk-free up to $750. Right. Download the app now in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at pa.betparks.com and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet. You must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, any more Bradbury thoughts before we dive into the odds? Just general thoughts about the team and where they're at. Real quick, before we move off the Bates thing, for Bates, Clark, whatever, do you expect them to add
a
safety?
Yes, they're absolutely going to do something.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah,
I'm just checking.
Would be,
I mean, they just signed James Bradbury. Yeah, it's like, you know, if they don't, I'm okay. You know,
they have to do something.
I have reached my quota of demands.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. But you do
think they will make a move?
Yeah, because I think they look at this offseason, right? We talked on this pod about how, oh man, they're really going to go with Quez as their number two receiver. They traded for AJ Brown.
Yep.
They're really going to trust these young guys at corner. They signed James Bradbury. They can say whatever they want about safety. Howie sees it like we do. Right, like Howie is not dumb. Howie's looking and going, man, Anthony Harris wasn't that good last year, and Marcus Epps is just a guy. We really need somebody at safety. Now, they're running out of assets. I don't think they're going to, like, Jesse Bates is a special situation. He's a young 25-year-old Pro Bowl
who's
player.
Who's disgruntled in
exactly.
his
place. Like, that is something where it's like, you figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be stunned if they went into the season with Anthony Harris and Marcus Epps as their starting safeties.
Okay.
I think Epps is someone they believe in somewhat.
I like Epps. I like Epps as a third safety.
Yeah,
I think Marcus Epps is like a really nice third safety.
I agree, but I think they will make a move at safety. It might not be Jesse Bates, but I would be very surprised if there's not a move made.
Remember when we were all excited about Kayvon Wallace? Such a shame.
Yeah, he did retweet me, so.
Oh, you're back in on Kayvon.
Exactly.
Mass the lock or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he could be something. Who knows?
Probably.
You know?
I mean, this takes time sometimes.
Okay. He's got the attitude.
Yes, he does. I like the attitude. All right, let's get into some odds and how they have changed the Eagles' future bets, the division bet. Elliott Sharp-Barks, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think they're winning the division.
Yeah.
I really do. Let's take a look at some of these odds. Do you have the odds up in front of you, or should I pull them up?
So I did have them up, but then I moved to the soccer odds. So hold on.
Oh, no.
A second.
Why'd you do it, buddy?
The story of my betting life. Why did I do it? So I have the Super Bowl odds up.
Oh, look at you.
You want those?
Yeah, you pull up Super Bowl. I will pull up
division.
Division.
I'm also NFC interested.
Look at you. Okay, so let's do both. Okay, so I'm in.
I'll do NFC. You do division.
Okay, so I do not want USFL odds. That is something I'm not interested in.
That's a good way to put it.
We will skip that. But how about that? You can bet on the USFL. All right, that's how awesome this app is.
Bet on soccer before you bet on that.
Yeah, I like that call. Don't bet on the USFL. All right, so you have the championship odds. We'll get to that. Let's start with.
I have conference winner.
Okay. Oh, you can, all right. So good, Len. I will pull up the actual NFC East odds real quick. We'll start with that.
Riveting podcast.
Yeah, this is how it's done. This is a beautiful thing. We're making it work quickly. Actually, before we do that, let's start with win total, and we'll go up. So I'm pulling up the Eagles win total for right now. It was at 8.5 before.
I got some.
It is up now, as the Eagles win total is now 9.5 games, Elliott Sharp-Barks. How about that?
So, traditionally, since 2011, so like 10 years or whatever, the Eagles have had an over-under of 8.5 games or higher 8 times.
Okay.
Did you see my tweet about this?
I did not. Give it to me. I like
this. In the 8 times that their over-under has been 8.5 or higher, so sometimes it's been 9, 10, whatever, how many times in those 8 times do you think they've hit the over?
So it's either going to be a lot or a little based on the way you're
playing this.
This
is the problem when you ask questions like this. And everybody puts their guard up and doesn't just guess what they want.
I'll say one.
They have hit the over. They've hit the under 6 times.
So, yeah. So they only hit the over twice.
Twice,
yes.
So you were up by one.
I had a feeling it was one of those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I feel like I actually remember you bringing this up last year the other way around as a way to say expectations be increased because of this. Yes.
So this would be my thing with the Eagles. And I'm not trying to be a buzzkill.
Oh, brother.
We have all seen it. They are never good when people think they're going to be really good. Now, I think what they have going for them is, they're a young team on the ascension.
In the last, in 04, we all thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl and they went to the Super Bowl.
Yes, okay, sorry. Yeah, one time. There's been one time
in
the last.
03, we thought they were going to be good.
That team.
Yes.
2002, 3, 4 is, the last time they were going to be good and they were.
Other than those two times.
Yes. So, in 20-something years, right? You look at after the Super Bowl run, everyone's excited about them. Weren't that good. The Vic teams, right? The Dream teams. All these times, So I think the over is the smart bet. But I liked 8.5 a lot more than I like 9.5.
Mm-hmm. No, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
8.5 was a lock. I think they're winning 11-12 games.
The schedule is just.
So I feel really good about this because I think they're winning 11-12 games. So for me, 9.5, I'm getting a game and a half extra of what my low-end prediction
is. But it doesn't worry you at all that they've been a team that's traditionally underperformed? Do you agree with that statement, first of all?
Yeah, the numbers say it, but I don't you do these things a lot where it's and we'll do it. We'll get to the NFC East odds and talk about the fact that 17 years, the same team hasn't repeated.
Yep.
I think that's such a stupid thing, but it keeps happening, right?
Right.
So, I think that's stupid. I think that, this is a different team.
Right.
This is a different group of individuals going out to play football than the vast majority of what those numbers say. So, it doesn't matter to me, but I understand that, the numbers bear out that way. So,
right.
I'm not going to completely crap all over it. But I also, it is not something when you say that sways me off of my number in any way.
So, it doesn't sway me into predicting different. But it does put a little bit of a, just keep your guard
buddy.
Up a little.
Oh, buddy.
Because let's be honest. The path of them being bad isn't that complicated. There's one thing.
Yeah, it's Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
I know.
Hurts isn't good.
Hurts
isn't good, and they're not winning nine
games.
Here's
the thing, though.
Well, actually, I'll take that back.
Here's the thing.
Because the team that schedules
I think they win nine games if Jalen Hurts is the exact same player as last
year. Yeah, it's true.
Like, I think they're a nine-win floor. Again, injuries, all stuff can happen. We never know.
But the schedule is just like... The schedule is so
easy.
That's what I mean. Like, it's...
I just don't see a world. It can happen. I just don't see... I would be really surprised.
I think their absolute floor, like the season goes to complete hell.
Is like eight wins.
I was going to say seven.
Sure.
But yeah.
Same idea. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page. It's just, I get
it. Just throwing that out there as a trend.
It's worth throwing it out there. All right. Well, speaking of the trends, the 17 straight years.
Now, what people should have been doing is listening when we said 8.5 was a good bet.
So, because we said that very early. All right. NFC East. I'll just keep going down. So Dallas is still the favorite at +125. So there is no minus favorite in the NFC East. Eagles, +175.
Really? It was +230 last time I looked.
They are on Dallas's heels. Washington +500. Giants +800. Giants are not winning the division. Washington +500. We talked about this. I could see if you want to take a longer shot on
a flyer
to the 17-year thing. If that continues, that means Dallas isn't winning. It's either the Eagles or the Giants or Eagles or Washington. So, but I think the Eagles are +175 are a good bet because I think they're going to win the division.
So I think it's a good bet in the way that I agree it'll hit. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good bet.
You want longer,
but on, you know. Yeah, like sitting all season on that money would be a little deflated.
Tough.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
I think a more interesting bet.
Conference odds.
Yes. Later. So.
Wow. I think a more interesting bet is the Eagles winning the NFC, buddy. Let's go.
So the
go.
Eagles are. Do you want to guess what they are?
Okay. Yes, I do.
Do you want to guess teams in front of them or?
Oh, okay. That's fun.
Because getting some numbers kind of.
Yeah. Fun. All right. So I would guess the Eagles are probably to win the NFC in the +1400 range.
+12.
Okay. I almost guessed 12. So
yeah,
I should have guessed
plus
my
12.
Idea. Okay. So I would guess. How many? Let me think. How many? Let me look at a list of teams real quick, just so I can kind of
feels like cheating.
Okay, I won't even do it.
Yeah,
I'll just go by division. That's
go ahead.
Fine. All right, so the Rams are in front of them.
Definitely.
The Niners. I'll come back to. I think the Rams are definitely in front of them. Dallas is obviously in front of them. Tampa Bay would be in front of them. Green Bay would be in front of them. I think those four are 100% in front of them.
So I'll give you a hint. There's only one more.
Yeah. So I guess that's. Probably the Niners.
Probably the Niners, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So Buccaneers +350, Packers +400, Rams +500, Niners +700. I hate that bet, by the way.
Dude.
I mean, unless you really think Trey Lance is going to take off, like, yeah. I really don't like that bet. Cowboys +800, Eagles +12. So a pretty big gap
between. It's actually kind of, honestly, of the ones you've read, I think it's my favorite bet. That or the Rams at +500. So Rams just won the Super Bowl and they're like +500. Like,
here
really?
Would be my argument for the Eagles. I think if the Eagles play to their potential, there is a pretty good chance they're the number one seed. Because their
schedule
is so easy. Like, if they actually hit to what they can be and, like, Hurts improves and Sirianni's a real deal and get, like, all those things, like, they could win 12 or 13 games. And, again, with 17 games, like, it's tougher to, like, kind of mentally prepare on what is definitely a number one seed. But if you win 13 games, like, you got a pretty good shot at being the number one seed. Now, they play the Packers, which could end up being a big game.
Yeah.
But I think there's a chance Eagles not only open at home, like, they could potentially have a bye.
Which means you're two games away from the
Super
Bowl. Yeah,
so I think...
And playing at home and anything can happen.
So if you're going to bet the Eagles, if you're, like, listening to this, you're excited, like, don't bet the division. Bet
Go
the plus 12.
I like this. Last thing.
Do you agree with that?
From a odds, yeah,
and just
sure.
An excitement standpoint.
Yeah, look, I'd +1200 versus +175.
If you're gonna bet 100 to win 175, bet 100 to win 1200.
Like,
you know, like
this is how we lose all.
I know,
money.
But think about all season how exciting it'll be. They'll
it'll
beat the Lions. It'll
I like
drop
it. And then
to
you get
whatever.
A hedge later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
They'll go in the playoffs. You'll feel better about
so
yourself.
So, how do you feel about the Eagles at +2800 to win the whole damn thing, Elliott Jarrett Parks?
I mean, look, again.
If you're going to bet +1200 when the
if you're going to put $100 down on the conference,
it feels like it shouldn't be +1200 and then +2800 to get the, like, win the Super Bowl. Like, it's just one more game you're winning, and I know the AFC's better, but is it that much better that it should more than double the odds?
Well, I think that probably has to do with the fact that they think whoever comes out the
right,
AFC.
Right, that's my point. I'm saying I know the AFC's better, but is whatever team they face that much better that it should be more than double the odds to win it?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, again, this is why we lose money.
Bet on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
+2800. Yeah.
What a lock.
What would you put realistically, like, percentage-wise there? Percent of winning the division, winning the conference, winning the Super Bowl.
It's a good one. I would probably say...
So winning the division first.
Like, you know, I would say probably like them at 50%, Dallas at 40.
I was going to say
40.
Like 60.
Yeah, I was going to say them 50, Dallas 40, Washington 10, but I could, you know, see any variation of that in there. I think of winning the conference probably like 15%, maybe 10%.
I think 10%.
And I think super, 10%. So, but, and winning the Super Bowl, you know, 3 to 5%.
I will say, though, of the teams that are in front of them, like, you could build pretty strong regression cases for all of them.
Oh, absolutely. But
Buccaneers, their quarterback just retired, right?
Yep. They lost some guys, too. Ali Marpet retired. Like,
yep.
They lost
Chris Godwin's coming off
Chris
a big injury.
Coming off a big injury.
The Rams, it's tough to
played
win.
In the Super Bowl last
year.
Yeah,
tough
we
to
know.
Win.
We know.
But
we saw with
the,
our own eyes. It's tough.
Yeah. The Niners don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Cowboys probably won't even win the division.
Yeah.
And who was the other one? The
Green Bay. It's Green Bay losing the playoffs every year.
So my thing with the Packers, too, is I'll be interested in how much losing Devontae Adams impacts.
I am, too.
He's a huge part of what they do. Yeah, and a lot of their offense was just throwing it to him.
Yeah, it was him, Rodgers being like, run and I'll hit you.
And Rodgers was going to ask out, then he didn't, now he's back.
I could see the Packers taking a step back. Honestly, I think of those top three in the NFC.
They're my let. Them and the Cowboys are my let.
They're the ones I'm least. I have more confidence in the Bucs and in the Rams than I do in the Packers. I think those should be the top three teams. I think it's fair. I think those should have the best odds. Those are the quote unquote best three teams in the NFC roster heading in the season. But I like the Rams and Bucs noticeably more than I like the Packers.
I agree with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is fun.
And I think if
go
you're,
Birds, baby.
If you're another if you're another pod looking at the Eagles, your arguments hurts. But I think that's the best argument than any of the other regression
Love
points
it.
We made.
Final thoughts?
I've had my AirPods in the entire pod for no reason.
I just realized it. It's really weird,
I've started
actually.
To do this. I don't know if it's getting old.
You just get lazy about taking them out.
I don't think they're in. Like, I forget that they're
you
in.
You wore them when you were sitting in my studio. That's
they're light because I've been listening to music walking in. Yeah. So.
How about that? I just noticed that you are wearing
them. Yeah, I'm wearing them, yeah.
All right. My final thought is earmuffs, 1, 2, 3. Go fucking Birds.
There it is.
All right, go Birds. I'm super excited. This is really fun. We're going to have a lot of fun heading into the season and over the summer. So obviously stick with us. Lots coming up. Parks on Saturday, 1 to 3. He's William James. Talk to you soon.